questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, all around the world, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to yet another edition from series of Q&A in Islamic beliefs from IRIB English Radio. Dear brothers and sisters, if you have been following these series of shows, we are trying to answer the doubts and misconceptions on the Islamic beliefs, which are received usually in the form of questions from different questioners from around the world. The question of the day that has been asked is, again, concerning the personality and characteristics of an imam as a role model and the leader of the Islamic Ummah. It has been asked that how should we call an imam, or how should we look at an imam as a role model while he lived, let's say, 14th century ago or 13th century ago. And how can he be a role model for us today? This question actually stems from the different doubts and misconceptions that says that, for example, the lifestyles have changed and facilities that people had at that time were limited. And let's say the knowledge of people at that time was quite limited. And even the time of the Prophet, for example, the society was not that mature. And now with the modern technologies, we have everything. So no need to look at them as a role model. And what does it mean that to stay living, for example, in 14th century ago, based on the circumstances that the Prophet of Islam or even the Imams have been living? Does it look rational and, let's say, rational and wise to follow whatever they have been saying for the people of that time? So definitely the needs and requirements of people also changed. This is the question that we want to ask it from the respected guest, the speaker of the show, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, and ask him to shed some light on that. Sheikh, the question was quite clear, and the concern of the brother or sister who has asked this question is quite clear. So are we really in need of such role models from past, and can't we find the same role models in our today's era, and we are obliged to follow the same role models that is starting from the Holy Prophet of Islam and actually continuing in the lineage of the Prophet through the Imams of Ahlul Bayt?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You see, they're talking about the Islamic lifestyle, or for example, Noble Prophet or Ahlul Bayt, they're considered to be role models for our youth and for, of course, all peoples. You see that when we look at the for example, talking about Islamic lifestyle, you see that this lifestyle is completely, we can practice it nowadays. Mm-hmm. I want to say that if you go to the, for example, you see that we have a lot of shows and episodes about the Islamic lifestyles.
True.
Islamic lifestyle. And of course, we have a lot of definition and explanation in the verse of Noble Quran and in the narrations of Ahlul Bayt, expanding on Islamic lifestyle. You see that we can have this Islamic lifestyle, and I believe that it is a best version of lifestyle nowadays, even in this modern era that we are living in this contemporary era. Mm-hmm. We can have this lifestyle, and we can choose it, and we can practice it. And sure, it is one of the best, of course.
Yeah.
You see that about the, for example, Noble Prophet Muhammad or his pure progeny, they are our role models. Mm-hmm. They are our role models because we have in the verses of Noble Quran or in the narration talking about this personality to be perfected human being, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced them to be our role models.
Yeah.
I want to say that we have history gap between us and between them. Mm-hmm. Of course, it is no doubt about that. But how they are considered to be our role models? For example, if you go to the Sunan al-Nabi and the tradition of the Noble Prophet, and of course about his lifestyle, or for example about the lifestyle of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salatu wassalam, we can practice their lifestyle, and of course we can have them to be our role models. You see that, for example, Noble Prophet was against oppression. And he was, if you go to the tradition of Noble Prophet and about his Sunnah, we have some books which has been compiled about the Sunan al-Nabi, or about the tradition of Noble Prophet and his customs. You see that he was, for example, giving some charity to the orphans.
Yeah.
And his practice, he was always against the oppression and injustice. Of course, I want to say that we have a lot of codes in this year, in this era, talking about Islamic lifestyle and the lifestyle of Noble Prophet. We can practice the same. Even in this time, we can be, of course, we have to be against injustice. We should give charity to the poor people and to the destitute, and so on and so forth.
So what you mean is that we just need to take the basics and basis from them. So and if we have got to know and got familiar and acquainted with the basis of their thinking system, so that would be enough for us. When we are looking after the when we are following the Holy Prophet, it means that we are following the culture that he brought up to the humanity, or the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, because then we have become familiar with the basis of their thinking system.
Exactly. I want to say that we have some differences, or forms are maybe different. For example, Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam, he was giving charity in that specific way. He was carrying a baggage, for example, and he was carrying to the poor people. But maybe in this time that we are living, you do not need to carry a baggage.
Very true.
I want to say that in this way. But you, the concept of giving charity be helpful for the destitute and poor people.
It doesn't matter that you're living in a village, or let's say a small city, or a large city.
Exactly.
So the change of paradigm only here is that the only paradigm that is changing is that the, let's say, the environment changes.
Exactly. I want to say that we have some changes in the forms. Okay. Which we call it mutaghayyirha, or some changes in the form of practicing something. On the other hand, we have something which is unchangeable, okay, which always remain forever.
Al-muhkamat.
Or you can call it thawabit, or something unchangeable, or a strong thing which remain forever, everlasting concept. And these concepts are, prevailing all over the time, in each place and in each time. You can have it and you can practice it.
Very true.
Okay? I want to say that Islamic contents are, talking about this basis, this prevailing and this everlasting content. Okay?
Yeah.
And this content you can have and you can practice it all over the time, in different places. It doesn't matter whether you are European, American, whether you are living in this time, or for example 100 years after this time, it doesn't matter. And it's not only about the Ahlul Bayt to be our role model. We have the same story about the verses of Noble Quran.
Yeah.
For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي هَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Do not kill and do not murder anybody.
Very
okay.
True.
Sometimes it was, for example, by the form of knife, and for example, killing in by this means. But nowadays you cannot, for example, shoot a person and kill him by gun. So,
questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Sheikhna, you refer to killing and taking the life of a person, and it's true that, for example, the basics and basis of Islam tells us that we are not allowed and prohibited from killing a person. It's as if you have killed the whole world, and this is a very beautiful concept that we can find it in the religion of peace that is Islam. But a kind of, let's say, doubt and misconception which is related to this same concept is that, okay, if a person killed, let's say, a lady, for retaliating her, a person needs to pay half of a blood money to do the retaliation. So if it was for the ladies at the dawn of the Islam, because the ladies at that time were not that educated. For example, now we have some ladies who are educated and they are engineers, they are doctors. So a lady might be working even more efficiently than a man in today's life. So they are, I think they are somehow actually stuck in such sort of misconceptions.
Of course, talking about the blood money of the ladies, because this is not a topic of our discussion, but very briefly, very briefly.
No, I wanted to refer to the kind of, let's say, series of problems that led the questioner to ask such a question. He might say that, okay, these issues were for the time of the Prophet, so we need to update ourselves. Okay, we can update. The answer is that we can update ourselves based on the same basis that the Prophet introduced to the world. So I'm listening to your explanation.
Exactly. I just want to very briefly mention this point that we cannot look at Islamic laws alone. Mm-hmm. For example, you say talking about the blood money, or I can give you more example about the heritage. Mm-hmm. Why the heritage of the woman is half of the man, okay? Mm-hmm. And so on and so forth, about Islamic financial issues. The answer is that we should
to be looked wholeheartedly.
We should look at all Islamic laws in the, you know, comprehensive way. I mean, in an inclusive way, actually. Mm-hmm. By this, you know, this inclusive look at Islamic laws, because Islamic laws are systematic. By systematic, I want to say that it has its kind of nidam, which mm-hmm. we call it some system mm-hmm. for Islamic laws. Okay, these Islamic laws in this system has its own role to play.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to say that if you look at other Islamic laws regarding the family financial issues and family financial responsibility, you see the financial responsibility is for the most, you know, in Islam is upon the man.
Yeah.
And man has the responsibility to support his family. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you know, this financial, you know, aid and support should go to the man, not to the woman.
Yeah.
Of course, if you have this role, الرجال قوامون على النساء, okay?
Yeah.
In the verse of Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that men all have kind of, they are manager of the family, and they have the responsibility to support financially their family.
Many thanks, dear Sheikh, for your explanation. So, all in all, what we have understood from your explanations, the whole system should be looked at. I mean, the whole thing as a system. So we cannot look at, for example, one part of it and criticize the other part. When all of these rules and regulations are going to be locked with one eye, then it is seen that, okay, that system works properly.
Like, for example, the example of puzzles. Mm-hmm. You know, each puzzle has its own place.
Yeah.
If you put it in its own place, okay, its proper place, it has its own, mm-hmm. you know, post, and it can, you know, has its own role to play.
And those who are criticizing, we need to ask them, so what is the substitute? Bring us a good substitute for that, if you know any. Then we see that the substitutes are usually the ones that are full of mistakes and full of, let's say, deficiencies, that they are even do not worth talking and, let's say, working on them as well. Many thanks, dear Sheikh, for your explanations and scholarly enlightenment. And you, respect listeners, for listening and staying tuned with Q&A in Islamic Beliefs from IRB English Radio.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن